Hey, but couldn't make it to church this morning. Mike Irwin being one of them. Don't mention any names. It was a little too much for him, I guess. Huh? Oh, is he? Good. That's even better. Sissy. Right. Can you say sissy right before we pray and stuff? I guess that's okay, right? All righty. I'm going to do something a little different today for me. I'm going to have two words, but I promise they'll be like homilies during the week. Because one I shared Friday, I really feel like I need to share today. And I'm going to let Clint pray for me because he just got back from Hawaii. So he's probably all refreshed and stuff. So pray for me, buddy. Amen. And maybe we won't get to the second word, but I did put some time in studying it this morning, so it's a little bit. But I woke up Friday morning, and it's just one of those days when you wake up, you know. If you've realized that, just some days you just wake up, and you may wake up feeling stressed or, you know. It's just going to be one of those days, right? Ephesians talks about that in the evil day, stand strong. And telling us that just some days are going to be evil days. Some days are just worse. I mean, it's just the way it is, right? Sometimes the warfare of different things going on in our life is just kicked up a notch. So when I was reading Psalm 62, I had this sense that this was going to be one of those days. Okay? And really, like the Holy Spirit just wanted me to really pay attention to, David wrote the psalm. But a lot of times it's attributed to someone else, you know. This one was a guy named Jeduthun, J-U-D-U-T-H-U-N. How many have heard of Jeduthun before? Yeah, Jed. That's right. Jed would hear of Jeduthun. You probably looked at all the names in Scripture with Jed in it, right? Is your real name Jeduthun? That's it. That would be tragic. But anyway, it's written to a guy named Jeduthun, and we'll look at him in a minute because it's not someone you would normally, you know, study in Sunday school or anything like that. But he's really important in the light of this psalm because as David penned this thing, then he gave it to this guy to sing it, okay? Or to put music down. And it's really important in this time of Lent, as we're being lengthened, that word means to lengthen, we know that, to stretch. Anytime we say, okay, we're going to be fasting, the warfare is going to be kicked up, okay? And a lot of times what I always tell people, we don't recognize warfare as being warfare until we're in the middle of it. Then we think, oh, well, that's just warfare, you know. Usually we're looking at ourselves or something's going on around us. But in Psalm 62, David starts off, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, and I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall and like a tottering fence?" And a lot of times throughout the psalm, when David's talking about the enemy, you know, the Holy Spirit actually speaking to him and pinning things, we can get a lot of insight into warfare and into the schemes of the enemy. So you see here is that sometimes when the enemy comes, his goal is to make you feel like you're tottering. You're kind of going this way and going this way, kind of like a drunk person. You don't know when they're fixing to hit the ground, right? And you're behind them trying to catch them like this. Well, a lot of times, emotionally, that's what the enemy will do to us, is make us feel like we're just tottering and leaning. And at any moment, I'm fixing to hit the ground. You ever felt like that? Like any moment, I'm just fixing to just like crash. And then the next verse, 4, this is another thing about the enemy. They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Just deception. So the goal of the enemy in our lives, or one of his goals, is to always thrust you down from your high position. Because he starts off this psalm about speaking about being on the rock. If you're in Christ, that's where you are. You're not only on the rock, you're grafted into the rock. Your feet are in it. you cannot be moved or shaken. All right? That's what it means to be in the heavenly places, seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is your position. All right? So they scheme together, which literally means they talk to each other. They do that. There's something called evil communication. They get together in demonic powwows, scheming against you because they don't like you. Okay? If you have a problem with rejection and you feel rejected by the enemy, then you have a real serious problem. But you've got to understand, he hates you. And he's always trying to thrust you from this position or this high position that you have in Christ. That's what he schemes against. If we can just lie, if we can tell him this, if we can speak that to her, we'll make her feel like she's fallen or he's fallen. He's tottering. And he's on the ground wallowing in the mud. He's somehow fallen from his high position. Right? That's what he schemes to do. Thrust you down from who you are. That's the only thing he can do. He can only thing he can do to you is lie to you. Okay? It's full of falsehood. So David starts us off with, all right, God, you're my refuge. You're my rock. Sometimes the emotions are coming so much that that's all you can do is proclaim truth, right? He says, my soul waits in silence for God only, and my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Okay. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The God of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him, for God is a refuge for us. Right? That's a good word about God being our refuge. You know, refuge is, of course, a place you go that's safe, a place that's out of the storm. You know, in other words, His presence is our refuge. And you can just see David saying this, trust in Him at all times. God is our stronghold. He is my refuge. Trust in Him. Now we're going to see in a minute what not to trust in. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of low rank are a lie. It's talking about the enemy. Balances, they go up, and they are together lighter than breath. And here's the word, and here's what the word I really want to share with you. Do not trust in oppression. And do not vainly hope in robbery. Okay? Many times when you go through warfare, what happens is your emotions get oppressed. You wake up feeling oppressed, or you go through something and your emotions just feel, that word just means to press down, to oppress your emotions. You ever felt like that? Usually the first thing that happens with me is when I feel like that, is I'll think, have I done something wrong? You know, in some way, have I offended one of God's commandments or something? You know, or I've just fallen out, I've tottered, I've fallen out of His favor or graces, right? It's amazing what your mind or your emotions will go to, right? Have you ever felt like that? Lisa, y'all nodding, everybody? Good. So, that's right, I'll preach long. So that's just part of your battle. You understand? What the enemy is trying to get you to do is trust in the oppressive feelings. To trust in your emotions at that point in time. Okay? Do not trust in oppression. Do not trust your emotions. Because they are damaged and they are marred by sin, by the fall. They cannot be trusted. So no wonder the enemy has this string somehow on our emotions where he can tug it at times and pull on it and oppress you. Okay? That's when we start spiraling down. When you start trusting in oppression rather than at that moment trusting in what is true about you. That's the reason David started this before he got to that with God, you are my rock, you are my refuge, You are my salvation. I shall not be shaken. I am rooted in Christ. I am on the rock. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. See, he's having to proclaim, and that's a good thing to do at times. That's not word of faith. That is truth. You are proclaiming truth about who you are. Okay? Because that is your battle, and that is my battle. Because he's going to be hitting me to thrust me from my high position and your high position. Because once you begin to believe the lie and bite into the deception, you spiral down. Right? And we begin to trust our emotions. Like I said, Friday, you've heard me say this before. I say it all the time. Your emotions will eventually catch up with your choices. It's like that sometimes. You know? When Paul writes, especially in the book of Philippians, writes a lot about rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice at all times in the Lord. See, you can't rejoice. You can't have the feelings first before you rejoice. You follow me? You rejoice in the Lord first, and then your feelings will follow after, right? It never says in there, if you feel like it, rejoice in the Lord. Now, those who feel like rejoicing, rejoice. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And rejoicing, huh?
What does that mean in the Greek?
Always, right? Always means always in the Greek. And what will happen is the way God has wired you and wired me is that when we begin to rejoice in the Lord, thanking Him, proclaiming truth, like those songs, you know, we trust in our God and all those things, we will not be shaken, right? That's truth. What will happen is your emotions will catch up with your choices. And then you'll experience in your emotions peace or joy or whatever. It may take it a while. Right? But don't trust in the feelings. Do not trust in oppression. It is warfare. Okay? And this is a word for our church as we're going through Lent, because you're going to get hit a lot, especially if you're fasting, if you're trying to press in to seek the Lord, you're going to feel rotten at times. Okay? That's your battle. Rejoice. Like, yay, I get a chance. I feel like crap, but now I can apply this. It's time for lab. Okay? Now, Jeduthun, I didn't forget about him. Here's why David was going to give it to this dude, Jeduthun. Okay? He's found in Chronicles. You can either go back and look at it later. It may take me a moment to find Chronicles. All right, here's one of them. Here's when we first see Jeduthun. They were going worshiping before the ark. And with them were Heman, Jeduthun, verse 41 of 1 Chronicles 16. You can go back and look at that. And the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name. These guys were, this is their job. Here's their job. They were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, because His loving kindness is everlasting. With them were Heman, here again, Jeduthun. They were had trumpets, cymbals for those who should sound aloud, and with instruments for songs of God, and the sons of Jeduthun at the gate. So that was their job. Their job was to worship God, to give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And one more place we'll see, this is a really cool one here. In 2 Chronicles, we see him again. When the ark is brought into the temple. And when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to division, and all the Levitical singers, okay? Jeduthun was a Levitical singer. Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, verse 12, and their sons and kinsmen, they were clothed in fine linen, with cymbals and harps, lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. In unison with the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, this is what they said. All right? All these guys, Jeduth and right in there, and amongst all of them. He is indeed good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord, the temple, was filled with the cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud and the glory of the Lord filled the house. That means they were falling out. They started worshiping God, declaring the simple thing, that God is good and His loving kindness is everlasting. That's all they sung. And they kept singing that over and over again. A cloud came in there and they just all were leveled. They couldn't even stand up. All right? Jeduthun was part of that. He was a worshiper. That was his job. So David took this psalm he wrote and said, I'm going to give it to him. This guy knows how to worship. I want you to put this to music because there are going to be times when the enemy is going to be scheming against us and scheming against me, and he wants to oppress me. And this is the way out. Put it to music. And sing this song. Because at the end of that Psalm 62, it says, verse 12, for loving kindness is thine, O Lord, and thou dost recompense man according to his work. So the way we get out of that place, all right, when oppression sets in, we don't trust in it. We proclaim the truth, and we worship our way out of there. All we need to know is two things about God right here, right? He's good, and His loving kindness is everlasting. That means it never stops. His love, His kindness, and all that means is just constantly flowing to me at all times. Right now. If you're in that pew, it's like a river. You're in the river, this over here, you're in the river of the loving kindness and goodness of God right now. Why would you be oppressed? There's nothing to be oppressed about. Right? It's just warfare. You're on the rock. Right? You're in Christ. You're seated with Him in the heavenly places. You've done nothing wrong. You're okay. Right? And therefore He is defeated. Nuts, man. I might not get to share my second word. Really is a good word, and I'll leave you with a thought, okay? Just a thought with this word. And maybe I'll expound on it next week. But a part of Lent is loving God and loving our neighbors, right? It can wait. Because I don't want you to think about anything else other than what I said to you. Right? Because we need to hear that's a Lent word. And that's a right now word for me, right? How many of you woke up kind of feeling bad today? You're oppressed by your emotions. All right? No more, right? We're not going to listen to it. It's nonsense. Breakthrough. God is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting, right? And may the glory of the Lord fill your temple now. You keep saying that, and His glory will fill your temple. Here. Amen? Kidoki.